Well, let's talk about your fanfares.
Okay. Tobias Picker, who was composer in residence with the Houston Symphony, decided to program a fanfare on every concert, a new fanfare on every concert with the Houston Symphony did, subscription concert. And it was a great idea. So he called me as one of the composers, and I said yes. And I started thinking, what's a fanfare? And all I could think of was fanfare for the common man of Copland. That was the only fanfare I knew. So I started thinking about Copland and saying, wow, Copland's a great, wonderful composer. And I said, I should do a tribute to him. Mm-hmm. So it's the same instrumentation as fanfare for the common man, and it also has a fragment of a tune from his piece. So that was my tribute to him. And then I started thinking about the title. I was like, how can I think I'm going to do something for women. So I called it Uncommon Women. And I actually checked that out with a friend of mine who said, that's a really good title. You should stick with that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of cutesy at first. But then she said, no, you should really think about that and dedicate it to somebody you admire, a woman you admire. So I did. And then by uncommon, I mean adventurous and wants to take risks. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by uncommon.
And who did you dedicate it to?
I dedicated the first one to Maren Alsop, who's one of our pioneer conductors. Mm-hmm. And then there were four others came along.
These were also commissions from...
These were all commissions for some spectacular occasion, usually like the 100th anniversary of Carnegie Hall, the opening of the Aspen, Joan and Irving Harris Hall.
That's one where you said, what, four trumpets and that's all or something?
Yeah. they gave me about 5 months to write that one. And I said, okay, it's going to be short and it's going to be just four trumpets.
Four trumpets.
And they said, fine, whatever. actually, I was writing for brass. I was learning how to write for brass, which was interesting.
So that was a...
Brass is not easy to write for.
Fun way to do it.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the woman composer thing. I'm assuming, as I think all women composers think of themselves simply as composers and don't want to think of themselves as women composers. But can you tell us anything? Is there anything in your experience in which you are really feeling like a woman composer, either in the way you're treated by?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you that I do like the fact, and I do mention it, that I am a woman, and that that's alongside of living.
Yes.
And those two things carry a lot of weight for me.
Yeah.
I don't apologize for that at all, and I don't hide that. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. It's a fact. And I'm very outspoken about both issues.
But you don't want to, I will assume you don't want to be, let's say, compared to other women composers as much as, or thought of, the body of composers in general.
No.
Right.
No, but see, there are certain facts that you just are stuck with.
Right.
But they can carry significant social and cultural issues with them. And I'm a fighter for both of these issues, the living composer and the woman composer.
Right.
And that's just a fact. I say to audiences, okay, how many of you have heard a woman composer? Two hands go up. They're not aware of this fact at all. See, it's a fact. It's a fact. So I said, well, you're about to hear me. And it's just a reminder that they're missing. They're missing out on things. Well, how many living composers have you heard? Three, you know. Mm-hmm. And then how many women? None.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I'm just bringing up some factual issues, that's all.
Well, that's why we're trying to bring them into the light.
Right.
Have you ever felt at a disadvantage for being a woman in what is primarily thought of as a man's world?
Well, I think the statistics if you look at them, are pretty miserable, actually. And I've never had any overt, you know, signs of we don't want you here because you're a woman or whatever. I've never, nobody in my field is that dumb. You know what I mean? They're pretty smart people that I deal with. Yeah. But you just, all you have to do is look at the statistics, and then you see what's actually falling out.
Well, maybe you can help me with a question that I get asked all the time, and I have difficulty answering, and that people ask me, why aren't there any great women composers, you know, like Beethoven and Mozart?
Why aren't there any, do they also say, why aren't there any great living male composers?
Sometimes they do, actually, and that's another good question, or, you know, it's another question that I feel that I get asked, let me say. It's a good question because people ask it a lot.
I think
there must be a need to have it answered. That's what I mean.
The history is so complex and so undeniably not interested, not designed to promote women writing music. I mean, that goes way back because women were not allowed to be professionals, et cetera, et cetera. It's a whole complex history.
Or educated.
So how could there be any great women composers if they weren't being allowed to even show their wares, like Fanny Mendelssohn? She had to do all her concerts at home, whereas her brother was supposed to be out in the world making his profile more visible. And she and he had the exact same education. So that's an interesting example of how women were not promoted at that time because there was a comparative person, her brother.
Right. You know.
So the question of why were there not any great women is a whole sociological, historical tapestry that you have to look into to answer the question. Now we have the opportunity of changing that.
Do you think it has already changed, or do you think we have a long way to go? Where are we?
Well, the musicologists play a major role in this, right? Because they write the books about it, and now we have biographies of Ruth Crawford Seger, Amy Beach, Fanny Mendelssohn. And so now there's starting to be a scholarly, stamp of approval that there were, in fact, some women, you know, who struggled. And all those women struggled a lot to write music and to have it heard. And some of them gave it up, like Ruth Crawford. I think now those doors have changed. Now a woman can write music and have it played by orchestras, by soloists, by it's all now happening. This is all very, very late in the game, in the history game, as compared to the field of literature or the field of dance or the field of poetry, of the other arts. We are way behind, historically speaking, because music is a particularly stubborn art form.
How do you mean that?
Well, the resistance to new things, especially in this century, is phenomenal. And it's something I don't quite understand, and I fight for eternally, because there's a lot of myths around about, oh, well, that's a new piece, so I'm not going to that concert. Well, how do you know that it's going to be bad? Where do you get this PR that this piece is going to be bad? It's built into a mythological kind of PR fabric in our classical music society, which is really, really pretty embarrassing, actually.
And that's something that's changed and that didn't always used to happen.
That's right. And that's there's a whole history to that, too. that the composers and the performers split in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. One went into the university under the scholarly rubric, and mm-hmm. the other went into the conservatory. The players mm-hmm. went into the conservatory and became stars and became visible and in front of the audiences, whereas the composer faded in the background mm-hmm. and wasn't seen from or heard from, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the 19th century, they were front and forward. They were conducting, they were playing, they were visible people. And they there was much more of a closeness between the two, between the performer and the composer. And most of the composers were performers of some kind or other. Yeah. But and nowadays, the composers are very few and far between that are actually actively performing. You know, or conducting.
And I know that you at least used to say, bring me up to date, that you think of yourself as a pianist who composes rather than the other way around. Do you?
I still think.
You still think.
Well, I'm not a professional pianist in the sense that I'm playing concertos and things like that. But I do think of myself as a performing composer. Mm-hmm. That, in the sense that I make music through my head, through performing it.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by that. Mm-hmm. Slightly different slant.
Whether it's for whatever instrument.
Right,
you're a wonderful
pianist, right.
But you still, you're sort of physically involved in the
I'm playing process. This piece to me mm-hmm. because I'm the first listener, but also to the players who are the second listeners, and then to the audience. It's like a giant ear that I'm trying to perform this piece for people. That's what I meant by I'm a performer who composes.
Which is why performers like to play your music, probably. I mean, one of the reasons.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah. And do you play?
Yeah, I play it whenever somebody asks me. And if it's slow enough. And I conduct, too. I conduct, too. I've been doing a lot of conducting lately.
I don't know how you have time to.
I don't.
It's hard to practice and compose, isn't it? can you tell us if there's something in your writing that you haven't achieved that you like to think about achieving or improving? I don't mean in terms of opportunity, although that would be interesting to hear about too, but just yourself. You know, you say, next piece I write, I want to do this or tackle that. Is there anything like that, or do you just want to keep doing that?
I just try to write the best piece I can. I've developed a lot more focus, and I can go for 3 hours without thinking about anything else, which took years to get to. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can do. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to move the world of style or... I'm just inside the piece as much as I can be.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope you keep doing that for a long time. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. This was enjoyable. Thank you. Nice questions.
Thank you.